Yes, I know I'm a FUD.
I have to say, mate, that was brilliant. I built a website for you and you still fuck it up. Hello?
Hello, is that better?
Aye, I can hear you now better. I don't think it's really. It just rips my knitting that. It does that with the time when I phone my dad on WhatsApp. So.
See if it's Susan Boyle, I'm hanging up on you now.
But the pink elephant in the room, Derek.
I've still got others. Oh, shit, fuck.
What was that?
I've just spilt my juice right over my keyboard.
Oh, you're joking.
And my shorts now smell of diluted apple juice, but that's another story.
No. It looks like apple juice, mate, but it doesn't smell like it.
Nicki Minaj was a fucking nightmare.
Really?
They, obviously, stars get riders and things like that, aye. Big list of stuff. On her rider was that she's a complete germaphobe, so do not let her bags touch the ground.
Right.
Do not look her in the eye as well. But she came in wearing big, bloody, blacked-out sunglasses.
I tell you what, though, Derek. I'd ride her.
Josh McPake has extended his deal until 2022, so certainly a standout for Falkirk last year, the only player that tried, apparently, and certainly one with a bright prospect for the
and
future.
That, Derek, nah, you've got that wrong, mate.
Oh, is that the wrong guy?
The wrong guy.
You sure?
Yes.
I'm not so sure. Who is it?
It was Zach Rudden that so played for Falkirk last year.
Right. I'll start that one again then.
Yes.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi everyone and welcome to the new season of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, mate. How's yourself?
Not mad, not bad. Both of us have been on holidays since the last time, haven't we?
I know, it's quite hard to believe that I was away on holiday, wasn't it?
I know, tell me about it, you know. I hadn't even came back and I think you were away.
That's right, mate, that's right, yes. No, all good, made a lot of good friends on holiday, loads and loads of blue noses and coss, I would like to say. Don't think I've seen one green and grey top everywhere, it was royal blue everywhere, which was a great sight to see, and got us a few new subscribers as well, mate, when I was out, so no, it was all good.
Fantastic, fantastic. Yes, can you believe it? This is season 7 we're into.
Oh, man.
Mental, isn't it?
7 seasons. Hey, us talking shite. There you go. No, it's just superb, mate. It really is. And here's hoping that we get back to winning ways and we can actually celebrate at the end of this season.
Yeah, so obviously got a few games to cover in terms of friendlies. We're only going to briefly cover some of them. We've got the two qualifiers as well from the Europa League so far that we've played, and then obviously transfers and all that kind of thing. So what we'll do now is we'll go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. So, obviously, we've got to talk about transfers before we get any further, haven't we?
Yes, we certainly do. Some exciting ones at that as well, Derek.
Yep. Obviously, before even the season ended last year, then we had already signed a few players. So, Jake Hastie was one from Motherwell on a development fee. Jordan Jones from Kilmarnock on a free transfer. Stephen Davis, he committed himself, I think it was a year deal, to us after his loan at the end of last season. And also, what was confirmed just after our last episode, I think, as well, is Greg Stewart.
Yes, which we were all, you know, there was a lot of talk about him a few seasons ago, Derek, it didn't materialise, and, you know, now we've got him, so what do you make of those signings that you've mentioned so far, Derek?
I'm quite happy with them, to be honest. I know a lot of fans are unhappy about them, but you've got to look at what's in your league. Look at the best of the players, and to be honest, Hastie, Jones and Stewart were the best of what's out there, I feel, and we've got them for virtually nothing. You know, the only fee we've paid is development fee for Hastie, and, you know, we yes, they'll probably not be world beaters, but they'll certainly be very, very good squad players. You know, you could argue that Ryan Jack was, you know, seen as that as well. And he's, when he's playing, he's very good and a solid midfielder. So what we've seen of all players so far, they've been pretty decent.
Yeah, the only one I can honestly say that I don't know much about is the young boy Hasty, Derek, to be perfectly honest with you. But it shows, you know, such a young player. We've obviously had the scouts out watching him. The manager wanted him in, and you know, was certainly a good young player with good experience so far. So no, it looks good. And as I say, I'm sure you're going to get on to the other signings that we've made as well.
Yes, we've signed George Edmondson from Oldham Athletic. That was an undisclosed fee. I think it was a fairly nominal fee as well, what we paid for him. That was a long and protracted one. And apparently Peterborough were interested in him as well, but obviously they lost out to us for him. It drove the Peterborough owner to go on a Twitter rant about losing out a player. They claimed they had an agreement already in place to sign him. So
okay,
we're making friends as we go, aren't we?
Yeah. No, again, a player that I don't know much about, Derek, but again, a player that I think the manager's had his eye on for quite some time, because we heard about this guy quite a long time ago, didn't we? I mean, it was right at the end of last season that we were hearing about this guy and showing interest in him, so it's went on for a long time. So again, it must be a player that we've done our homework on. He certainly looks the part anyway. He's a big, strong guy, and I think, you know, the manager said that he wanted to have at least two people for each position. And, you know, I think he counts the sort of right side of the centre half and the left side of the centre half as being, you know, a position each. So, good, strong player. And, you know, it's good competition for the other defenders.
Aye, and he's a fucking giant, you know.
He is, yes. He's a big, big guy.
Next player as well, Joe Aribo from Charlton Athletic, and that was basically on the more or less a development fee. I think it was called a cross-border fee as well, so you're probably only looking at £300,000 again. And again, that's drew the ire of his old manager Lee Boyer, who wanted him to stay at Charlton. He then signed for us, and Boyer absolutely slammed him, saying that he's making a mistake and it's not going to benefit his career at all, and it's basically just, you know, ended his career signing us, and we're not the right place for him to go. He's really just raging because clearly he's lost a very good player, and the fact that they're missing out on potential transfer funds if he went to somebody else in the English leagues.
I think that was probably more what the problem was, Derek, was the fact that he was, you know, probably the highest sort of profile and highest ranked player in their team, that they really thought they had a gem, and to lose him for such low money to, you know, Rangers, you know, has really been a bitter pill for them to swallow. But this guy looks the real deal, Derek. I've read a lot of reports on him from down south, and they really, really had high hopes that this guy would go on really, really far. And he does look the part, Derek. He's strong, he's fast, he's got a fantastic first touch. It looks to me as if he's, you know, got great vision as well, because you see some of the passes that he's been putting through already. I think we've got an absolute gem in this guy, Derek. I'm really looking forward to watching him more and more.
Yeah, certainly from what we've seen of him so far, he's been putting himself about and been very good. The next one is the only one we've really spent any money on, and that's only signed in the last week there, is Philip Hellander from Bologna. The fee is round about £3.5 million pound, apparently. So I think he's a centre back, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. He's, again, Derek, I'm not going to lie, I didn't know much about this guy, but the one thing that, the two things that I'll say, number one, Swedish international. Number two, he was playing in Serie A. Now, I realise that he didn't play sort of half of last season because I think he was injured and he didn't get back into the team. But he was playing, you know, at a very high level in Serie A. And the one thing they always say about that league is, you know, you have to be a good defender to be able to play in that league. So he certainly, again, he looks the part. He's a young guy as well. It's a lot of money for us to spend. So I'm hoping, you know, that this guy's going to be a real star for us, because it is a lot of money in the state, you know, the financial state that we're in at the moment. It's a lot of money for us to spend on one player. So, you know, but I'm...
I'm really looking forward to seeing him play. And the manager looks absolutely delighted that he's been able to sign this guy, which again, you know, really looks as if we've got a really good player here. And as I say, I'm excited by the fact that the manager's, you know, really pleased that he's got his man in as well. So here's hoping, Derek.
Yeah, you said that you have to be a good player to play in Serie A. What happened to Paolo Vanoli then?
He was a quality player, mate.
he was, but until he got to us.
Well, he was. See, to be fair though, Paolo Vanoli playing for us in the last sort of 4 years would probably have been a star. Let's be honest.
Great
playing in that defence. So you know, maybe it wasn't quite as bad as what we can remember. But there you go.
Probably been unfair, yeah. But and the only other player we've got here is a loan signing for Shea Ojo from Liverpool. For the season, so certainly he comes again with high praise. Hopefully it'll be better than the Roma signing, the loan signing they had last year. I can't even remember his name, that's how much an impression he made.
That's terrible, because I can't remember his name either.
Oh no, Omar Sadiq.
Omar Sadiq, that was it, yes, I know. No, it's certainly, but Derek, we've seen flashes of this guy, and as I'm sure you're about to get into in the first game, he certainly played a pivotal role in that match for us, and you know, looks a decent player.
Yep. So in terms of outgoings, we've not had as many as we actually thought so far, which is a bit concerning in terms of the wage bill and just having players floating about there. But as we kind of mentioned the last pod, Kyle Bradley, Miles Bierman and Liam Burt have all left the club on a free contract. Gareth McCauley have left on a free contract also. Lee Hodgson obviously was playing with St Mirren, I think it was, last year.
Yeah.
He's left and went to Gillingham. Lee Wallace has left to go to Queen's Park Rangers and joining up with Mark Warburton.
Yes.
Probably a surprising one, Ryan Hardy has left for an undisclosed fee to Blackpool. He was set to go out on loan, but I think that fell through and then ended up signing a full contract with Blackpool.
Yeah.
And then the one that's just happened over the last couple of days there, again a bit surprising, Daniel Candeas has went to from Turkey.
Yeah, I know. I think that's taking everyone by surprise, Derek. A fan's favourite, let's be honest, and we, both of us, really rated Candeas. And, you know, he was a winger, Derek, and wingers do go through a lot of phases of being very quiet, but Candeas, you know, more often than not, had, you know, played very, very well for us. He was certainly a hard worker. Again, unlike a lot of wingers, he certainly wasn't lazy. And, you know, all of us, I think, are actually quite gutted that he's away. There's a lot of people saying, oh, he's not as good as what everybody said he was. But no, I did. I thought he was a really good player. He had a great understanding with Tav. He had a great understanding with Morelos as well. So I was really quite surprised at that, Derek. I don't know what's quite happened there. I know that we, you know, he was playing in Turkey before. Maybe his family really liked it there and wanted to go back. I don't know. But I seen his message that he put out as well, just thanking everyone and stuff like that. But no, I was really quite surprised at that one.
Yeah, I mean, you can never question his attitude in terms of how much he tried on the park, maybe apart from one or two games where the whole team were bad. But as you said, he's a winger, and his problem, I think, was he's too inconsistent. And that was one of the big problems with him. A fee of about £250,000. I was a bit surprised at that. I felt he could have went for a wee bit more. However, you look at the circumstances, he's in the last year of his contract, you know, 6 months down the line, he could leave for sign a pre-contract and leave for nothing. He's coming up 32, so probably the best deal we could have got for him there. Interestingly, he was left out of the first set of games for Europe. Now, it would be interesting to know, was he left out of these games because, I mean, he did say to Gerard he wanted to explore moving to another club. So it'd be interesting to know, was he left out because he wanted to go to another club, or did he want to go to another club because he was left out? We don't know the exact timeline there. Certainly from what has been said, he didn't really want to fight for his place in the team. which that is, you know, shows his attitude in terms that he wanted to still play, but at the same time, it's almost like, well, I didn't want to put the effort to fight in my place as well, so I just wanted to play my game.
Which is quite strange, Derek, because he never ever seemed to, because as you just said there a minute ago, a really, really hard worker. It was one thing that we could never ever say about him was that he was lazy. So I'm quite surprised at that. I thought he was, you know, the sort of attitude he's shown with us, he would have been the type of guy that would have been there to fight for his place. But he's gone now, Derek. You know, he was good for us. He had a few fantastic games for us as well. And as I say, we've just got to move on now, don't we?
Yep, wish him luck, and that'll be that.
Yep.
In terms of loans out, we've had Robbie McCrory go to Queen of the South for the season. The big surprising one, Ross McCrory has went to Portsmouth on the end of the season. Now, I felt that he was ready for that team.
Definitely.
There was obviously a lot of talk about his position in terms of what Gerrard said at the start of last year, that he could have got his career destroyed by playing him in centre back. I felt we should be building the team around him, and the big concern was initially that apparently Portsmouth had the option to buy him outright if they wanted to. However, that's been clarified, and it's apparently if we choose to sell him,
then
they've got first refusal. However, Rangers have said that, you know, we're looking for him to come back. And certainly, the way Greg Docherty has been playing since he's returned from his loan, he's been outstanding. Especially that game against St. Joseph's there, he was outstanding before he came off. So certainly if he can pick up anything like he has done, then he'll come back an even better player.
Portsmouth are a very big club as well, Derek. They are a team who should be playing at a much higher level than they are due to their fan base and, you know, the stature of the club. But we all know the sort of financial problems that they went through as well. They're playing in a lower league. But the one thing that he'll get is he'll get, you know, big crowds coming to watch him. And I think going by some of the reports we've had where I'm playing just pre-season games, the fans are absolutely raving about him, because I think he had an absolutely outstanding match in you know, his first game playing for them, and they're all looking forward to him playing and stuff like that. So as you say, we just have to hope it works out the way it did for Greg Docherty, because it certainly looks as if it did him the world of good going out on loan and coming back. So I certainly don't want to sell him, Derek, because, you know, anybody listening to the pod will know that I think he's a fantastic player and definitely one for, you know, as you say, build a team round for the future. I think he's a great player.
Yep. Jordan Rossiter has went back out on loan to Fleetwood Town for the season, I believe, so I can't imagine we'll ever see him again.
No.
Stephen Kelly out to Ayr United, Cammy Palmer out to Partick Thistle, and Eduardo Herrera continues his loan spell with Necaxa, so again, we'll probably never see him as well. So.
Yeah, I know, and the one that I noticed today was actually Jack Anick has also went out on loan to Blackpool.
That's
also
correct, yeah. So I think he's more or less said his goodbyes, I think, the way he's put a tweet out, because I think his deal runs out at the end of the season anyway, if I'm right. So, good keeper when we've seen him, but you know, if his destiny lies elsewhere, then so be it. So.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Obviously, we don't know what's happening with a few other players, like Graham Dorns, like Kyle Lafferty, and people like that, and obviously still speculation is surrounding Tavernier and Morelos. Now we don't know, there's obviously been rumour and speculation, and the latest one for Tavernier that Newcastle were going to come in with an £8 million bid. We'll get into it later, but I'm almost tempted just to say you can take him as long as you tell Mike Ashley to fuck off and never grace our doors again, you know, and we'll call it quits at that. But we'll get into that later in the podcast. So that kind of rounds out the kind of transfers. We also had speculation in the pre-season about Gerrard was going to be approached by Derby after Lampard has went to Chelsea as their manager, and also speculation that he was going to be approached by Newcastle after Benitez left. He's rubbished both of them. Steve Bruce has went to Newcastle as well, so more fool him.
Yes, I don't think the Newcastle fans are too enamoured with that one either, Derek, to be perfectly honest with you. So it's a bit of a poison chalice.
It's much like getting rid of Brendan Rodgers and bringing back in Lennon, isn't it?
I know, but were they not supposed to be getting Rafa Benitez though, Derek?
Ironically enough, yeah.
Yes, the Derby manager is ex-Dutch internationalist Philip Cocu.
So it is, yes.
There you go.
We had a pre-season out on Portugal as well, and a few notable players never made the trip, such as Gresda Lafferty. However, a few notable players did, including Graham Souness. He made a wee appearance.
That's right, yep.
As did, very strangely, Virgil van Dijk and John Terry as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there was quite strange seeing that those guys out training also. But again, I think it's the Gerrard connection more than anything else, Derek, you know, to come in. Obviously, John Terry played with him for England for years and years, so know each other very well. And then, of course, Van Dijk being down at Liverpool, you know, when Gerrard was there as one of the coaches. So I think that's been what it is. But good to see, you know, these guys there, you know, big names in world football. So, aye, very good.
Gerrard has also graduated from the FA's UEFA Pro coaching course as well. So always good, and, you know, another string to add to his bow.
Definitely, yes.
Season tickets, we have broke the barrier again. 45,757 season tickets have been sold, with 14,000 on the waiting list as well, which is both more than last season. So incredible, and I can't imagine, even if I wanted to, me being able to get my season ticket back anytime soon.
It's like going back, Derek, to when I was a boy, you know, putting your name down for a season ticket and having to wait sort of 4 or 5 years before you could get one. It's going back. But, I mean, that's excellent. I mean, that's exactly what we want. So, brilliant.
Knowing my luck, I would put my name down, and then as soon as it came up, you know, my time to actually get one, I'd probably get made redundant or something like that. So.
Oh, I didn't attempt fate like that, mate.
So we may as well move on to the actual main part of this down the tunnel section, and we'll get into the games.
Yes.
Yes, so the first game we played was in Portugal, and it was a closed doors game, I believe it was, and it was against Mansfield Town, where we won 2-0 with Shea Ojo and Greg Docherty getting the goals.
Yeah.
Can't really say much about it. I think there is a report somewhere, but again, it was trying out different teams. I think it was like 3:40 minutes or something like that. Or however they done it. Next one was on the 3rd of July, and it was at Auchinhowie this time. Again, another closed doors friendly against the New Saints. I think we played them last pre-season as well.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And we won 1-0 with Jermaine Defoe getting the goal on the 14th minute.
Yep.
And the next game was the first big game friendly at Ibrox, which was on the 7th of July, and it was against Oxford United, where we won 5-0. 22,000 attended, and Candeas got the goal on the 16th, Stewart on the 32nd, Mayo on the 53rd, Ojo on the 70th, and Defoe on the 89th, and we played very well, didn't we?
Yes, very, very well, Derek. We were really impressed by a lot of the players. You know, that were making their debuts at Ibrox, so you know, it certainly did. I know the standard of opposition wasn't the best, but it's still a good run out. It was still a great chance for the supporters to see the new players, and they didn't disappoint.
No, again, you can only take a lot of these friendlies with a pinch of salt, because you don't know how hard the other team are trying, and you know, it's a friendly at the end of the day, where you shouldn't be going into big massive tackles and giving it all. You should be certainly given enough to show your and justify your place in the team and for the main competitive games. So but the next game here was on the 9th of July, and it was a 4-0 win away against St Joseph's of Gibraltar in the Europa League round one qualifier, leg one.
Yep.
So I don't have a full match report for this, because I was out of the pub and I couldn't really be bothered watching the game back afterwards. But certainly the first half, you know, it was pant waiting time again from a certain sections of the Rangers fans, wasn't it? For the fact that the first half was largely a drab affair. You know, we dominated the first half. We never created many clear-cut chances. A few scrambles across the goal, a few shots wide. It was a bit pedestrian at times, but we were in complete control for the first half, and which ended 0-0.
Yeah, I wasn't really panicked at that point, Derek. I knew as soon as we got one goal, the floodgates would open, and thankfully in the second half, that's exactly what happened.
Yep, on the 49th minute, Jack made it 1-0. Barisic got the ball on the left, floats a great cross into the centre of the box, and with a placed volley, Jack hits it into the back of net. Lovely goal, wasn't it?
Fantastic goal, something that we've never seen for Ryan Jack before, so it was a great finish.
Yep. 56th minute, we made it 2-0 with Ojo. Ojo with his back to goal from about 20 yards, turns, gets the ball, maybe a wee bit of fortune with the way the ball broke off the defender as well, takes it forward a couple of yards and hits a curler into the bottom left corner. Again, another fantastic goal.
Yeah, great strike, Derek, fantastic technique as well, and a brilliant way to score your first, your first competitive goal.
Yep. 68th minute, we went 3-0 up with Barisic scoring. Barisic had a free kick 20 yards out on the right hand side, curls it round the wall onto the right hand side of the net. The keeper did actually get his hand to it and parried it out, but it was just over the full ball. Yep. Was just over the line. Goldson. Yep. Was there in any case with the follow up.
Yeah, it certainly was. I think it was put down as Goldson's goal for certain sections of the media, but it was a well struck free kick, and was just pleased. And as I say, that was it. That was like the tie over when that goal went in, Derek.
Yep. And then we made it 4-0, the last goal of the night, on the 76th minute with Alfredo Morelos getting a goal. I think he started on the bench as well.
Yeah.
If I remember right. It was a short corner worked from the right into Tavernier on the edge of the box. He floats a great ball into the back post. Morelos with a header, which again the keeper managed to get his hand to it and parry it away, but again it was ruled just over the line, and it was kind of just as well because Goldson again got the rebound in the follow-up, but he hit the bar from 2 yards out in an open net. It was probably the worst miss I've ever seen.
Well, we've had a few of them over the years, Derek, but thankfully the referee counted the first one. Exactly. So that's fine.
So game over, as you said, really from the first tie. We're expecting it, to be honest. We can never take anything from granted after the progress Niederkorn issue, but the tie was effectively over from them. But we'll get into obviously the second tie shortly.
Yes.
Next game after that was a 4-0 win at home against Marseille. Obviously Marseille, big team, and one of the big stats from this was apparently their starting midfield five was worth 70 million, or they paid 70 million for. We paid 300,000 for our starting five.
I know, Derek, and that was the impressive thing about it. And I know it was a friendly, but Marseille had an incredible team on paper out against us. They had other big star players all playing, and for the way that we tore them to shreds was quite incredible, and it was a fantastic performance for the team, and that's what's got everybody really buzzing was that game, because they were absolutely superb. It was a joy to watch.
Yep. I think it was the first goal, but Kandea scored on the 17th minute, but it wasn't the goal so much, it was the ball from Jack from about 35 yards all the way over through the defence, and amazing control from Candias to firstly control it, then turn and then shoot within two motions. It was an outstanding goal.
Jack got the ball on the halfway line, Derek, with his back to goal, and in one movement turned and dinked the ball forward right over straight to, again, as you say, Candias' first touch was fantastic, and fired it, and it was a tremendous goal, and again showing us something for Ryan Jack that we've never seen before.
Yeah, Candace got another goal on the 42nd minute. Goldson scored on the 62nd minute. I think this was another he robbed. Was it Katic of this goal, I think? And funnily, I think Katic, after this game, obviously bearing in mind what happened to Barisic in the last game, is really funny. Katic put, Goldson doesn't like Croatians. Which was brilliant.
Very good, that.
And to round out the game, we went 4-0 with Defoe scoring on the 75th minute. So, as you said, bearing in mind it's a friendly, but an outstanding performance all round.
Yeah.
I think Marseille were about a week and a half behind in us in their pre-season, so obviously a wee bit to work on in terms of that.
But
they did get beat 1-0 off Accrington Stanley the weekend before.
Yeah, so. I know. I don't think that Marseille had their team out that they had against us, because they really did have... you know, other international players playing against us, which was the impressive thing for us, Derek. So, no, I was delighted after that game.
Yep. And the next game was the next competitive game, Thursday the 18th of July, at home to St Joseph's, again in the second leg of the round one qualifier for the Europa League. Without being disrespectful to St Joseph's, it was really nothing more than a formality, because as I said, the game was finished in the first leg.
Yep.
It kind of turned into more of a training game after the second minute, really, because that's when we scored. Really probably taking the intensity out of the game, but you know, we really don't know due to the first leg. We lined up Fotheringham, Polster, Goldson, Edmondson, Halliday, Doherty, Kamara, Aribo, or Aribo. That'll be the next one. I can never say Candias, or whatever.
Yep. You didn't have to worry about that now.
No, definitely not. Stewart, Hasty, and Morellis. On the subs bench, we had Firth, Defoe, Barjonas, Katic, Arfield, Mayo, and McPeak. And as I said, we scored in the second minute with Joe Aribo. It was a worked ball from the right. The ball came to Doherty on the edge of the box on the right. A lovely ball slid into the box where Aribo first timed it past the keeper.
Yeah, no, great finish, Derek. And as you say, from that early goal, it took all the, you know, any tension that really wasn't there, but any slight, you know, nerves were to taken away straight away with that goal, and it just made the rest of the night, just like you said, like a training game, didn't it?
Yep. 9th minute, there's a free kick floated into the box by Halliday from the left. There was a glancing header by Stewart just wide. 23rd minute, there was a quick move by St Joseph's, shot from 20 yards, but it was a comfortable dive and save gathered by Fotheringham on the right hand side of the goal. 26th minute, it was lovely worked move ending in Hasty tapping the ball into the back of the net at the back post, but it was ruled offside for the previous pass to him. It looked quite tight, to be honest, but
yeah, it did. Yep.
Yep. 33rd minute, Halliday free kick from 20 yards out on the right hand side, it went just wide of the left post. 39th minute, it was good play from Morellis chasing a lost ball on the left side, keeps it from going out for a goal kick, passes to Hasty in the box who first times it and it went just wide of the right post. And then we rounded out the first half on the 45th minute with Morellis going making it 2-0, and that was his 50th competitive goal for Rangers as well.
Yes, absolutely incredible, Derek.
Yep. It was a corner in from the left. Goldson has a back heel flick at the near post, directing it to the back post, and Morellis taps it in with his head.
Yeah, great goal. Well done. I think I texted you at the time, Derek, and I said this is, you know, if that's straight off the training ground, then that's a phenomenal goal for them to get that much accuracy on the flick by Goldson, you know, for the simple header at the back post. It was a great goal.
Yep. So only half time, obviously, you know, against and game still over. It was really just kind of almost like a damage limitation, whereas don't pick up any injuries or anything like that.
Yep.
Fortunately, that happened. 51st minute, it was a corner from the left into the back post. Morellis gets a great header to it, comes off Goldson and out for the corner. It should have been a goal kick, but it was a great chance, however.
Yeah.
55th minute, penalty given after Doherty pushed down in the box. No attempt to play the ball whatsoever. Strangely, no yellow card given.
Yeah, no. And the first thing I thought was, well, there's no Tav, so who's going to take the penalty here? I don't know if you were the same, Derek.
Yeah, pretty much. But Morella stepped up and made it 3-0. Powerful penalty into the bottom left corner. The keeper did guess right, but he was nowhere near it ultimately because of the power taking it through.
Yes.
57th minute, Hasty came off and Arfield came on. 58th minute, it was a good claim for another penalty after Polster taken out in the box wasn't given, probably because the penalty had just been given a few minutes beforehand.
Yeah,
as well.
And that was a clear penalty as well, Derek, which was what got me. It was a blatant penalty, as you say, just because that one, I think the referee was quite lenient on them just because of the last one.
Yep. 65th minute, Morellis gets his hat trick and made it 4-0. Cool cam play, ball played out to the right of the box to Doherty, who plays an outstanding ball across the goal, finds Morellis, who back heel flicks it into the back of the net. Again, another outstanding goal from Morellis.
Yeah, it was. It was superb, Derek. It really was.
I think the $5 million he dropped after the end of last season, after being suspended, he probably put it back on tonight that night, didn't he? So. And he came off a minute later. Morellis and Doherty came off, and Defoe and McPeak came on. Doherty in that game was outstanding all game.
Yeah, we had a great game, yes. Yeah. No, he really did.
73rd minute, Halliday cleared the ball off our line after the corner was whipped in from the right. It was a header by the attacker into the centre of the box, but directed into the path of Halliday. It was a quick break up the park with McPeak on the ball, tried to feed in Defoe, but couldn't quite get to him. So in one, kind of two certain moves there, we had the ball cleared off the line. It was kind of lucky in that respect. We had, you know, the old school defending man on the post, but it showed our kind of quickness of the break, which I think is going to be a big feature of our game this year.
Yep, and interesting to hear Peter Lovenkranz talking about McPeak at that stage, because he knows him obviously through the the Rangers Academy and him, you know, coming up through it, and he was absolutely shocked that he didn't take the shot on himself there and decided to play in Defoe. So I was quite surprised at that as well. But I suppose when you've got somebody like Defoe playing alongside you, you're always tempted to try and give him the ball, aren't you?
It's almost like, shit, this world class player's here and a better pass.
You certainly wouldn't see Morelos doing that anyway, Derek. That's all I can say.
76th minute, we went 5-0 up with Jermaine Defoe scoring. Ball down the right hand side, Polster tries to cross it in, deflects off the boot of the defender right into the path of Defoe, who flicks it into the back of net. Maybe a wee bit of fortune there, but he still had to get the ball across.
Exactly, yes.
84th minute, Halliday had the ball in the back of the net, but Defoe was offside when it was played in. Defoe jumped and tried to scissor kick a volley, but it deflects to Halliday, who slotted it home. A bit unlucky there. Defoe got his brace on the 86th minute. Lovely movement, working the ball from the right of the goal into the centre, worked the ball into the box, ending in a backheel flick to Defoe, running into the box, who coolly passed it past the keeper.
Yes, great goal.
You know, he had only been on, 20 minutes and he'd already scored two goals, so...
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. 87th minute, McPeak gathers the ball on the left-hand side of the box, turns the defender, cuts it back and hits a shot with a comfortable save from the keeper. And the last play of the game, 93rd minute, Stewart was bundled off the ball in the box. Certainly a half claim for a penalty for us, but the referee gave the free kick the other way. You know, if it wasn't a penalty to us, then it certainly wasn't a free kick the other way. Referee was being very pernickety, and he wouldn't let the game flow a lot of the time and giving really stupid fouls away. But, you know, 10-0 in aggregate, you really couldn't ask for any more.
No, as you say, Derek, 10-0, we couldn't have asked for a better scoreline than that. And on to the next round, and we will play
our old nemesis, Progress Niederkron. Yes,
exactly, Derek. So I really, really hope, and I'm sure they will be, I hope the players are up for this, and I really want us to go out and absolutely annihilate this team, because the last time we played them was one of the most embarrassing nights in our history, let's be perfectly honest. So I'm sure all the players will know what this means to the fans, and I really want us to go out with the same attitude that we had in that last game and just absolutely annihilate this team. I really do. I don't want there to be any let up at all, Derek, in the play. None at all.
No. And then obviously if we do manage to overcome Progress, we have, and I think this is how you pronounce their name, FC Mighty Highland of Denmark in the third round.
I'm going to call them Mighty Land, so there you go.
They better not be fucking Mighty.
No, that's it's a hard draw, Derek, let's be honest with you, but it could have been a hell of a lot worse, because there were a lot of really, really big teams that we could have faced and, you know, potentially faced in the next round. So that was probably one of the better draw that we could have got for, but still it's going to be a very, very tough game, because by all means they're a very, very big physical team. So but bring it on. I'm not looking past the Progress game. First of all, I want us to go and absolutely thrash them first, and then we can think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it brings us into the last game we've played so far, which was on the 21st of July. It was a 1-1 draw against Blackburn. We played fairly decent in the first half. In the second half, Blackburn came a wee bit more into it. I mean, we got a goal in the 30th minute with Defoe. They changed a couple of things about in the second half, and they got the goal in the 65th minute. They were more dangerous in the second half than us. But, you know, again, it's another pre-season friendly. I'm not going to get drawn too much into it. I mean, up until that point, I think we had scored 22 goals in all the pre-season friendlies and the European games. We hadn't conceded a goal. And after that game, some of the pant wetting on Twitter was actually hilarious, to be honest, from some Rangers fans. You know, oh, we need, this shows you we've got a lot to learn, etc., and oh, we're shite and all that. You know, it's a pre-season friendly, we're going to lose goals throughout the season, we will unfortunately probably drop a few points along the way as well, we just need to manage it and learn from it. And that's effectively what the gaffer said. So pre-season friendlies, don't take into too much into the results, it's all about performances, trying different things out to see if they might work and seeing how the things can gel together. So obviously the next set of games we've got is on Thursday night. We have obviously the Progress game, that's at Ibrox, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is, yep.
That's the first legs at Ibrox, that's a 19:45 kickoff. Then we play Derby County on Sunday the 28th of July, and that's in the last pre-season friendly at Ibrox. Then we've obviously got the second round of the Progress game, which is on the 1st of August. I think that's a 6:30 kickoff. It's an earlier kickoff as well. And then we get into the season proper, which starts again, unfortunately, at Kilmarnock, because as if we've not played them enough in the last 6 months. But that's on the 4th of August, that's Sunday. And then we're 6 days later playing at home in the first game of the season at home against Hibernian. So, certainly, you know, tough games to go into first, but however, with Kilmarnock hilariously getting put out of Europe against a part-time Welsh side, you know, I think, you know, the Kilmarnock fans are not very happy, and, you know, an unhappy camp there.
It will be a completely different game, though, Derek, against us, and I'll tell you why, because Kilmarnock are a team over the last few seasons who have relied on teams attacking them, putting up a stern defence and trying to hit teams on the break, whereas when they played that team the other night, that's what happened to them, and that's the reason that they got beat the other night, is because the team did to Kilmarnock what Kilmarnock does to nearly every single team out there. So certainly against us, I think you'll find that we'll be on the ball a lot, we'll have the bulk of the chances as well, and it's just up to us to make sure that we take the chances and don't give them a chance, because he's certainly over the last few seasons, that's just what Kilmarnock's done against us, and any other big team that they've played, they've soaked up the you know, the pressure and hit teams on the break. So, you know, we just have to go off to a flyer, Derek. We've got to win that first game of the season just to start, because, as I say, last season was a nightmare, and we hope that there's no the same type of thing happens, you know, that happened for us before. So, yeah, here's hoping that they pick up the 3 points straight away. But we'll think about Thursday, first of all, get the job done at Ibrox so that we've not got a tough game away, you know, when we play Progress in the second game, and then we can concentrate on that one.
Yeah, just the one last game I want to talk about. Obviously, we're playing St Mirren away on the 25th of August, but the one big game, obviously, is the 1st of September, the first Glasgow Derby game of the season. I'm not even going to say Old Firm anymore, because I don't want to associate with that scumbag of a club for obvious reasons. However, that, you look at last season, the games we played against them, the four games, we were probably the much better team by far. Mm-hmm. 2.5 of the games out of the four. The last game at Parkhead, we absolutely pummeled them in the second half, and we just, unfortunately, with the result.
Exactly.
We're at home this game. What a psychological advantage would that be, just to lay down the marker?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That might make them crumble, you know, in terms of if we manage to get results. If we're going into that game with a 100% record and then we beat them, that would be fantastic. We couldn't ask for much more than that. So here's hoping that the team don't let us down.
Definitely, Derek. I think they'll all know that as well. So, yeah, well, I'm not going to say anymore. I'm not going to jinx it.
So that rounds up that section, and we'll now go down into the last minute arranged classic match.
And there it is, the final whistle's gone, Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
Yes, just to qualify that comment there, Dave had, you know, all proud of his punch yesterday, sent me a text message just saying, you know, I've got this game, here it is, this is what we're doing. So me, without checking it, you know, I said, right, that's great, I'll kind of get that all teed up and all that. So I was looking at the stuff today about an hour before we were due to do the podcast, and I'd realised, I looked at the link on YouTube, we'd done this game, the very first pod of last season as well. So Dave had to scramble try to get this game, didn't he?
Yes, I did, but Derek, I got through the end.
He did.
the classic match that I was going to go for after I knew I had made a boo-boo with that last one was a Hearts match. And while I was watching it, I actually saw a link to another Hearts game. And the explanation that was on this was Hearts play Rangers with seven men. And I thought, what was that all about? And I had a wee look at the link, and it was from way back the 14th of September 1996. And the lineups for that day for Rangers was Andy Gorham, Alec Cleland, George Alberts, who was playing at left back, Gough, Petrich and Bjorklund, Stuart McCall, Paul Gascoigne, Derek McInnes, Gordon Jury and Brian Loudrup on the bench, Peter Van Vossen, Ian Ferguson and Ali McCoist. For Hearts, a lot of well-known names: Gilles Rousset, David Weir, Paul Ritchie, Gary Mackay, Dave McPherson, Pasquale Bruno, Neil McCann, Salvatore, John Robertson, Colin Cameron and Neil Poynton. Now, this game will go down in history as a game that turned into a bit of a farce in the end, but thankfully Rangers did the business in the end regardless. So the game started off with some really heavy challenges from Pasquale Bruno, especially on Brian Loudrup. It looked as if he had him earmarked to try and injure him straight away, and it was a pattern throughout the first half, because any time that Loudrup got the ball, Pasquale Bruno was in trying to kick him, kick lumps at him, bring him down, do whatever he could to stop him. And that was straight on. But straight after that, Hearts actually had a chance earlier on, and it was actually Davy Weir venturing upfield. He played a 1-2 with John Robertson and shot and pulled off a fantastic save by Andy Gorham. Not long after that, Gordon Jury then had a chance with a long shot but hit straight at Gilles Rousset. Pasquale Bruno again, another bad challenge which went, you know, unpunished again on Brian Loudrup not long after that. But then Bruno finally got booked on the 9th minute by putting in another bad challenge on Brian Loudrup. So three, you know, really poor tackles there, resulting in one yellow card on the 9th minute for Bruno. Derek McInnes then had a chance for Rangers, a turning shot for the edge of the box, but well saved by Rousset. Then there was a cross in from Brian Loudrup on the left-hand side. Gordon Jury heads it down to George Alberts, who hits a low drive. It's just past the post. Thought that one was in, but just past the post. Then Paul Gascoigne turns on the edge of the box, fantastic through ball to George Alberts. He shoots low and scores, but the linesman had the flag up and ruled it offside. Very unlucky there. Then George Alberts with an incredible shot that he cracks off the post on the half volley. Technique was outstanding, really unlucky there. And then not long after that, a trademark Paul Gascoigne run, shrugs off three players into the box, shoots, pulls off a save out for the corner. Unlucky there. Neil McCann, the game's still 0-0, so Hearts are still in this. And Neil McCann with a long range shot, which was saved by Andy Gorham. But then on the 39th minute, Rangers break the deadlock.
Well, that's good play. McCall played it in. Set piece. Hearts were caught napping. Loudrup with a short corner. McCall deserved enormous credit for being there. But how about this for a finish from Gordon?
It was a short corner played along the line by into Gordon Jury, who rifles a shot right into the top corner of the goal. A fantastic goal for Gordon Jury to break the deadlock, make it 1-0 to Rangers. 2 minutes after that, Hearts player Neil Poynton with a very late tackle on Derek McInnes saw him pick up a yellow card. And then just after that, Paul Gascoigne picks up the ball in midfield and plays the ball out on the wing to Richard Gough, who keeps running and keeps running and keeps running, and nobody goes anywhere near him. He gets up to the edge of the box, and what he's got to do is just put the ball on target, and he flings his right leg back, hits a shot, and he skies it right over the bar.
I know that Richard Goff was an inspirational leader for us, Derek, but when it came to actually shooting, he was absolutely shocking, and he really should have done better with that one. He really should have, because he had plenty of time. But then, at like 1 minute later, he had the chance to score again. Richard Goff, Gordon Jury cuts the ball back for the byline, goes straight to Richard Goff's feet. He sticks his leg out, and it, this time it comes off the post. It still doesn't go in. So still 1-0, half-time whistle goes. Rangers, by far the better team here, but still only one goal to the good. But right at the start of the second half, Pascale Bruno...
loads up, still going forward, but it won't count because the whistle has gone. Now, Pascale Bruno is ordered off. Bruno is ordered off. A second yellow card. Well, really, you know, it was almost inevitable. His first three challenges of the match were all fouls. That meant a yellow card in 10 minutes. And really, the smiling reaction, I think, does him less than credit. He's let his team down, there's no doubt about that. And yet, he sees fit to smile and applaud to the crowd.
Nobody could say anything. He could, you know, there was nobody could defend him, because another poor challenge saw him pick up his second yellow card for a foul on Gordon Jury, where he just sort of barged right into him, knocked him off his feet. So that gave him his second yellow card, and he was off. So Hearts down to 10 men for virtually the whole of the second half. 48th minute, Rangers doubled their lead.
Now Loudrup without his shadow. Gascoigne getting away from Weir. Gascoigne again, taking all the time in the world to score number two. Well, he showed all the composure, all the skill, enough pace, patience, all the attributes you could want to make it 2-0 to Rangers.
Paul Gascoigne picked up the ball on the left-hand side. He runs into the box, shrugs off a challenge for Davy Weir, comes to Gilles Rousset, rounds Gilles Rousset, calmly takes the ball, runs, takes another step and fires it into the net. It's cool as you like. Fantastic stuff with Paul Gascoigne to make it 2-0 to Rangers. Hearts then had a chance. Neil McCann latches on to a through ball, shoots low but saved well by Andy Gorham. And then on the 60th minute, Gordon Jury with a late foul on Dave McPherson. But
Jury and David Weir exchange a few words there. Well, this is just pure total folly. I mean, we're talking here about experienced professional players. Why in the world would they come involved in that? A red card for David Weir. And Rousset coming after Jury. Now this is equally foolish. I mean, this is incredibly stupid stuff. Well, the Hearts discipline is in tatters here as David Weir makes the lonely walk off.
The referee spots an off-the-ball incident where Davy Weir takes a wee swipe with his arm against Gordon Jury. There wasn't much in it, but there was still contact made. Gordon Jury goes down. Referee kind of comes over. Davy Weir absolutely raging with Gordon Jury. Two of them have got a lot of, you know, mouth and back and forward. And then Davy Weir really stupidly sort of sticks the head on Gordon Jury. Nothing major, but still does again make contact. Referee straight over, red card for Davy Weir. The place has gone absolutely mental. Gilles Rousset is involved. The referee's got a lot of calming down to do. So Hearts then down to 9 men. But then it just gets worse and a bit of a farce.
Turned away by Poynton. Poynton complaining about offside. What's this all about? I mean, Hearts have lost the place. This is just incredible stuff here. Yellow card for Poynton and a red card. He's been booked already, you see. He's been booked already. The Jim Jeffries comes to the touchline. He wants to speak to the assistant referee who's involved. He's invited back to the dugout.
Neil Poynton kicks the ball and then has a right go at the linesman for some reason. The linesman then signals for the referee to go over, and Poynton is shown his second yellow card of the game and he is ordered off. So Hearts are now down to 8 men at this stage.
Jim Jeffries is down in the touchline doing his absolute dinger, going absolutely mental. So the game is now at snail's pace. Nothing much happening in it again. But then, to make the farce even worse,
the assistant referee is now drawing the referee across again. Well, now it appears to be Paul Ritchie. Richard Gough tried to calm down the Hearts players, but Paul Ritchie is in trouble. Something happening off the ball. It is a red card for Ritchie. Well, and now down to seven. Paul Ritchie goes off. Graham Allison from Dumfries, the assistant referee. One. Richard Gough is doing all he can to calm the situation down. But I think if one more player is ordered off, the game must stop. Chris Robinson, the chairman of Hearts, is down in the track, and he wants the game stopped, I think. Well, now, this could have serious repercussions. It really could. There's Chris Robinson talking to Jim Jeffries. Now, it looks as though he wants the players to come off, the Hearts players to come off, and if he does that, I think there will be very serious trouble.
The referee calls over Paul Ritchie after speaking again to the linesman, and he's ordered off for an off-the-ball incident. So Hearts are now down to seven men, and this is when the farce starts, because the Hearts chairman at that point, Chris Robertson, comes racing for the stand. He's down on the side of the park. He's signalling for all the players to come off the park. He wants the game abandoned. The whole thing is going into farce. All the crowd's all booing. Richard Gough was even over at the referee, you know, pleading with him not to send Ritchie off at that stage. Thankfully, the game continued, but it was really a training game at this point. All the substitutes were brought on, but one player who didn't want to play at a snail's pace and wanted to score a goal was Ali McCoist. In the 79th minute, he had a long shot, which was just over the bar, but on the 81st minute...
Across it comes here, McCoist retrieves. He'll want a shot at goal, you can be sure of that. And it's goal number three. He's stepping away from Frail, drilling the ball at the far post.
He picks up the ball himself inside the box and hits a low shot past Gilles Rousset to make it 3-0 to Rangers. Rangers had a couple of attacks in the last 5 minutes and Gilles Rousset pulled off two fantastic saves, one after the other. First was a shot from Van Vossen. He saved it straight out to the feet of Ali McCoist, who shoots, but he pulls off a fantastic save with his feet and holds it on to keep the score 3-0. So some fantastic play for us in the first half, Derek, and mostly second half. The game was spoiled slightly by the sendings off, but well worth watching to see some trademark Paul Gascoigne runs and a couple of fantastic goals as well. So you said that you can remember this one, Derek. I really struggled to remember that, especially with the circumstances of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite funny that I actually remember a game for a change in Utah.
Exactly, I know.
It's all down to the circumstances, obviously, them going down to seven men, and weirdly, two of the guys were soon to be Rangers players after that as well. So
that's right, yep.
I found it interesting as well that for the last sending off that Richard Gough was pleading with the referee as well not to send him off, it looked like. So
exactly.
I don't think he found anything much in whatever happened.
No.
So we were fantastic in that game as well, and Hearts were just basically out for hacking us down at every possible.
I think that certainly looked like the tactic, especially for Pasquale Bruno. He had no complaints about being sent off, Derek, because he could easily have had about five yellow cards in the first half anyway, so very, very lucky to stay on, I think, even for the start of the second half.
Yeah, and the Hearts chairman, just again, it shows you how much a shite bag he was as well. So.
No, quite funny. But like I said, Derek, it was enjoyable to watch. It was great seeing Paul Gascoigne again, you know, running through. I just loved the way that he just used to hassle players off him and barge through players when he had, you know, when he was running with the ball. Just absolutely superb. So again, if you get the chance to go and watch it, please do. I certainly enjoyed doing that when I was writing up the classic match.
Yes, so we'll have another classic match in the next episode, and hopefully Dave will research it better the next time as well.
You had to get that wee dig in there, eh?
Absolutely, come on, that's what I do.
We'll be hearing about this in 2 seasons' time.
You know that meme, you only had one job? I mean, I think that applies to you tonight, so...
No, I didn't. I turned up and I logged on at the right time.
So, we'll now go into the news. So, quite a few bits and pieces to cover here. Some of it good, some of it bad. First piece of good news here is Josh McPake has extended his deal until 2022. So certainly, from what I've been hearing, he's certainly one for a good prospect for the future. So that's always a good thing to see.
Yeah, I watched him when we played that Youth Cup final that was on live, Derek, and I thought he was the best player in the park. He looked absolutely fantastic, big and powerful, but really, really skillful as well. So, you know, that's a great, you know, great news for us. And as I say, I know that the manager rates him very highly as well, and he's had him in the first team squad a few times, so that's good to see.
Yep. Next thing is there was a meeting, I think it was a general meeting of shareholders to hold a vote to convert the loans into shares, which passed by about 80-odd%, I think it was, and we're effectively now debt-free.
Yes.
Despite what some of the raging Tims say.
Aye, exactly. Along with buying dodgy Hummel kits and Jimmy Bell ironing the badges on because we can't afford to get the actual proper. I mean, absolutely incredible. The moon howlers are unbelievable, Derek. So, no, that's excellent. And as you say, virtually making us debt-free, which is great. Superb.
Yep. Stuart Robertson has been elected to the SPFL board and Lywell has stepped down from it. The usual thing they do every 2 years, a Rangers representative takes the place of a Celtic one in 2 years. In 2 years' time, the opposite will happen, yeah. So no big news there. Massive campaign Rangers have launched yesterday, which was the Everyone, Anyone campaign. Basically, it's an equality campaign set up with the Rangers Charity Foundation to promote diversity and tolerance. They've said as well, if anyone is found in breach of any type of thing like this, they've got to go on a kind of a diversity course almost, I think it is. So certainly it's been going on since 2017, they said. So it's, not only is it a great idea, it's also as well a fingers up for these supporters of strict liability. Basically, it's shown that the club are actually taking steps to try and do something about what the whole strict liability would cover. So we are doing things in the background and now it's in the foreground. So all these call it out groups and sham groups like that can go and fuck themselves as far as I'm concerned. So
you're still getting criticised for it, Derek, but that was to be expected by the usual idiots in the media or ex-media as she is now.
Yeah, I'm not going to give her the justification promotion on this year, so fuck her and all. Next thing as well, the first part of our litigation woes, as it were, new season, same litigation woes as usual. Rangers are being sued for £1.1 million for pulling out of the Memorial Garden. To be honest, the Memorial Garden, I didn't like the sound of initially as well, and I didn't like the look of it, but the company that set it up, Memorial Gardens Limited, I think they're called, they claim that we had agreed to the deal and signed paperwork. Rangers had stated they had agreed to proceed with it subject to stakeholder consultation, however decided not to go ahead with it. Part of the issue was that it wasn't clear about the upkeep and the maintenance of the area, because apparently it held an area for people to be interred in there as well and their ashes to be stored there.
Okay.
And Rangers said they would happily cover reasonable costs for the consultation, but they're obviously thinking that they're going to get more out of us for this. So it's in courts now. I'm not really going to say too much about that as well. So I'll go into the next bit of litigation later, but the Rangers have launched their first Chinese soccer school in Shanghai. There's going to be a full-time Rangers staff member there overseeing it, and there's going to be weekly coaching sessions will be undertaken as well. So again,
excellent.
Bringing the brand out to markets that are largely untapped as well, and especially the Chinese market's quite lucrative and a lot of money running through it now as well.
Excellent.
Yep, so it's a good thing. I mean, we're building our bases all over the world now, which can only be a good thing, and it's something that's lacked for decades now, the branding of Rangers. So Next thing, Rangers women's first team and academy have been fully integrated with the club's football department.
Brilliant. So, uh-huh.
Always a good thing there, especially for the whole diversity thing as well.
Yep.
Next thing, Eros Grezda mysteriously pulled out of the Albanian squad at the start of June. Initially, it was claimed that he withdrew for personal reasons. However, he has personally claimed that it was due to muscle injury. So, who knows what's going on with him now? Obviously, it's unknown whether he's going to have a future with us or not. It wasn't included in the Portugal trip. It's just a sad state of affairs, and when he's starting to do funny things like this, like Lafferty was doing as well with Northern Ireland, you can only think that the time is limited that he's going to be at our club now.
It's strange the fact he's not been involved in anything, Derek, and then for that to happen as well, he's not exactly done for us. He's we've been, you know, I think we were hoping that he was going to turn out to be a star. It's not been the case. And I've just got a wee feeling that we'll see him again. I think he's maybe in the background getting some sort of deal. There was talk of him possibly moving to France. So if that's the case, that's the case. I don't think we would be missing anything with him if he did go anyway.
Yeah. Next thing is Rangers have been given a silver award for the SFA licence. Celtic have been given a platinum award. Now, I don't know if you've seen much about it. I don't even know if you know anything about the SFA licence award, but it just doesn't make sense. It's farcical. I'm looking at the grid here.
Really?
Well, exactly. So obviously it goes platinum, gold, silver, bronze, NA. So basically it goes in categories. So it goes by your ground, the first team, the youth section, the legal, admin, finances and codes section, and the UEFA license award. So basically Rangers have been given a gold for the ground, gold for the first team, gold for their youth setup, silver for the legal admin, and they've been granted the UEFA license, yet they've been given a silver award.
Yeah.
You look at St Johnstone, they've got a gold award overall, but they've been given gold for their ground, gold for the first team, silver for their youth, gold for their legal admin section and finances, granted the UEFA licence. However, you look at Aberdeen were given a silver award. They've got gold and granted, but they were given silver for their ground.
Right, okay.
You then look at Hamilton. Their ground was awarded a silver.
Uh-huh.
Their first team gold, youth team gold, legal admin and finances silver, so the same as us for that part, but they were granted the same as us.
Right.
The whole thing is, I don't think it has any bearing whatsoever on any sort of footballing thing for anybody, but the way they've set it up just does not make any sense whatsoever. And if you get a chance, have a wee look at the grid that they've got here, but it's the most farcical system ever, and I don't understand it, and I don't think anybody does. I even showed a Celtic fan at work, and he was like, yeah, that just doesn't even make sense at all.
No, not really.
Why should Celtic be given a platinum award? They've got gold for everything and granted, and the only thing that we've got silver for is our legal finances, yet we're given a 2 grades below them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
That's strange.
Yeah, farcical. That leads on to more farcicalness from the SFA. Their chief, Ian Maxwell, has stated that their decision on Rangers' 2011 UEFA licence will be made in the not-too-distant future, considering they already apparently ruled on it, both in 2011 and a short time ago as well. Basically, it was comments to appease a certain section of the Celtic fans in Liverpool.
Yeah.
I actually want them to have a go at us for this, because it's quite clear, Rangers have said before, if you go at us, we're going to go scorch the earth at it. So I really hope we do, because we've got an absolute, you know, barrage of stuff to throw at them if they actually decide to go and have a go at us for this. So bring it on is what I say.
Nah.
This now leads us on to another farcical decision by the SFA. Mark Allen has slammed their decision-making process after they've basically kiboshed plans to put Colts teams in the leagues. Rangers have effectively now pulled out the Reserve League in favour of top-class friendlies as a result of this. So, baffling again. It can only benefit, you know, the teams, benefit Rangers and Celtic, benefit the other clubs as well by playing, you know, probably higher profile games than they would normally.
Yep. Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yep, but behind and everything as usual with the SFA.
Yes.
Another baffling decision by the government governing bodies is the SPFL and the Scottish Government are withholding a report which documents unacceptable conduct and in particular sectarianism around football grounds in the last 2 years. Nil by mouth are appealing the decision not to release the document. This is ultimately really going to backfire on them because it's clearly not going to contain the narrative they want, that Big Bad Rangers. And or it's going to show the fact that it's not just a one-sided issue like the media seem to think it is.
Exactly, Derek. Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Yep. The BBC were at it again as well. Last week was the 30 years since we signed Boris Johnson, but the BBC Scotland News Twitter, along with one of their editors, Gary Robertson, stated that it was that he was the first ever Catholic to sign for us.
Yes, which was wrong.
Yeah, research would have showed them that we basically had nearly a full team worth of Catholics signed for us by this point. He was really the first high-profile Catholic, so a big difference there. Now this is really the big elephant in the room that you were talking about.
Aye, quite literally.
Starting with it anyway, the mega store at Ibrox was only going to be open on match days only, obviously because nobody was going in it. It was a glorified Sports Direct.
Yes,
That leads on to what's obviously came out in the media over the last kind of week or so, and in particular today and yesterday, that we've lost the latest round of court cases with the Mike Ashley Sports Direct merchandise issue. Really, it's all to do with not giving them the right to match the deal made by Hummel and Elite, or whatever the obviously issue is. Well, there's a lot of conjecture and there's a lot of rumour and speculation floating about the internet, and to be honest, I really don't know what to believe now. There was rumours that were going about that have still to be clarified that this matching deal was made in perpetuity, which would mean basically that Sports Direct are on the sidelines. Every time we make a deal with another company, we've got to give them access to the details of the deal before we sign it for them to match it. We don't know if that's true or not. I really don't know. There was an issue as well with the fact that apparently that had we lost the case, which we have, the compensation would be capped at £1 million. Now, the media are kind of reporting that the judge has said that this is wrong and it should be much more than £1 million. Rangers have released a statement today basically saying that in fact, I'll read it out here. Rangers would like to reassure supporters that matters concerning the litigation currently being brought against by SDI Retail Limited are not as reported. Rangers was disappointed by the terms of the recent court judgment, but respects the decision of the court and will meet any financial award made by the court. No such award has yet been decided, and at this stage, Rangers does not even know how much will be sought. Contrary to some reports, the judge has not determined that the contractual cap on damages will not apply. Rangers would also like to reassure supporters that no steps have been taken to stop supporters being able to buy this season's replica kits. So the media are reporting that as a multi-million pound deal, and that's obviously causing a lot of panic as well. The judge has said this will be dealt with at a later date. I'm not sure how they can fairly judge any lost revenue by Sports Direct, basically because before, when the deal was still in place, a 7-year deal, there was a boycott going on, so nobody was buying stuff.
Exactly,
so
the
profits they'd be making would be minimal. Rangers, obviously, you know, if Sports Direct matched the deal of Hummel, which is obviously in our favour, there are still some fans that would say, fuck you, I'm not actually buying anything from Sports Direct.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have bought any tops. So 10 million might have reduced to 7 million because of the fans, so you don't actually know any profits. It seems to be that the judge wants both Sports Direct and Rangers to come to the table and try and agree stuff. In terms of you know, trying to do this outside the court and try to sort it as well. Also, it's turned out that Mike Ashley and Sports Direct wanted us to stop selling kits now, and they tried to put an injunction in place. The judge refused that, but he also refused, refused Rangers' argument against trying to get that injunction stopped. Basically, Rangers said one of their points was it would hinder Rangers' ability to act as a financial being and as a club, which the judge refused that point. I don't understand how he could have refused that, because it's a massive revenue stream. So if you stop that revenue stream, you stop the ability to a club to function and buy players. So I don't know how the judge can do it. So it's going to rumble on. And as Heart and Hand have said, there is countersuits going in by Rangers. Apparently, Sports Direct still owe us in the region of £3 million that they haven't paid us. I can't imagine Hummel and Elite not being aware that this is a possibility, this might happen. There's somebody on the Rangers board, I think, and he's linked with Club 1872 as well, James Blair or somebody Blair, I think, apparently was the one that was doing some of the negotiating and never gave the pertinent documents to Sports Direct, which was the deal with Hummel. So it's going to rumble on. I don't know how much more we can say about it. I just think some people need to, you know, cool their jets about it. It's not all doom and gloom. There's going to be back and forward for the next years, it seems.
Derek.
And I did retweet something tonight as we were recording from Bob McPhail, and it's a big 10 long tweet thing, and it's probably the most sane thing you'll hear about the whole situation. And it's, you go to his Twitter site to read the thread, because it certainly talks more sense than I'm doing.
Okay, about. I'll have a look at that later, Derek. But Derek, we all know at this moment in time, and I'm not going to go into specifics, but we all know that there is a lot of deflection tactics being used, especially by that mob and their supporters across the city, who will try everything to get, you know, any negativity away from them, and by putting it on us. So the slightest wee story, whether it's true or not, they are going to make a big deal of it to make it look as if we're in the shit in some way, to try and take the microscope away from them. We all know why. We're not going to get into it just now. We all know why. So I think we just need to sort of stick to the facts just now, and, you know, don't believe everything that you read on social media, because it's rife the now with that lot. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no much more we can say, obviously,
no,
with the whole litigation thing going on.
Yep.
It's going to rumble on. And, you know, it's the same, you know, the same problem, it's just a different season. It's quite clear, you know, that Mike Ashley, really, it's not about the money anymore for him, because I'm not going to labour the point, you know, because we've done it several podcasts over the past 3 or 4 years now, about him, just if he had realised, you know, get the fans on side. But,
aye,
you know, there's he's just bought Game. You know, I'm an avid gamer. I'll never go into that shop again, because he owns it now, or his company own it. So in a time when the retail industry is on its knees, he's buying companies right, left and centre, which doesn't make any sense for a start. But, you know, he's now, you know, alienating a lot of his potential customers.
Yes.
Fuck him. I don't want, you know, this is why I said, you know, it gets to the stage now where if you want Tavernier, fucking take him, but just sign a fucking paper that says you'll never fucking grace our doors ever again.
Yeah.
You'll give us back everything that's owed to us, and you'll fuck off and leave us alone. So, you know, it might be a hit on the team, but, you know, it might make everything a lot easier.
Yeah.
So just to go into the last couple of things that I've got here is, as I said, Lee Wallace has joined Mark Warburton at QPR, but so has Dominic Ball and Jason Holt. So he's getting the band back together.
It certainly is. Yes. It certainly is.
Plan A and no plan B.
And he's also got Liam Kelly there as well, who he'll have known for when he was at Rangers also. But to be fair to Liam Kelly, he's a very good goalkeeper. So, I mean, he's got himself a good keeper. But I can see the prediction that I'm going to make, Derek, is first half of the season, everybody will be hailing Mark Warburton in the Championship as a visionary and a fantastic coach and incredible attacking football. And then in the second half of the season, they'll probably just escape relegation, because all the other teams will work out exactly how to play against them and know that he's no got a plan B, just like what you said, and they'll get beat the vast majority of his games in the second season. I'm no slagging off Mark Warburton, Derek. He came in, he done a job for us in the Championship, but he did get found out very quickly, and it's been the same way every club that he's been at. But we do wish him all the best, and I certainly wish Lee Wallace all the best in his new, you know, at his new club, along with Jason Holt as well, who, you know, was a good player for us. He wasn't, you know, a phenomenal. He wasn't a world beater, but he was certainly a hard worker as well, Derek. So we wish them all the best anyway, and hope it goes well for them.
Yep. Recently released Liam Burt has went on trial at Celtic.
Yes.
A bit of a strange one, wasn't it?
Yes, no, I heard that. There was a lot of talk and a lot of rumour again, Derek, on Twitter, but we'll just have to see how that one pans out.
Very strangely, he wasn't on their leaked transfer list either, was he? But Joe Aribo was, yes. Despite
uh-huh.
their protestations of not being on it. Another ex-player, Kenny Miller, has joined Partick after leaving Dundee. I think, yep. you know, he's going to be playing into his 80s the way he's going, isn't he?
Probably, but he is he's a very fit guy, Derek, and he's been lucky when it comes to injuries. So, you know, probably a good level for him to be playing at now, because he probably will still be a standout playing, you know, for Partick Thistle in the league that they're in. So, we'll just have to see how many goals that he gets when he's playing there next season.
Yeah, when he'll be reduced towards the half, you know, at Christmas time, because he'll become player manager, won't he?
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's maybe what he's, you know, his end goal is to be. I don't think he's made any secret that he wants to go into management. But if you're still fit, Derek, and you can still do it, then why not?
Yep. Another ex-player, Majid Bouguerra, has been appointed his first managerial job as gaffer of UAE side Al Fujairah. I think that's
excellent. Okay.
Maradona was apparently their boss until last year.
Really? Fantastic. Yeah. Well done, Majid.
Yep. The last bit of football news here I've got is nothing to do with us at all, but it's just showing the farcical nature of Scottish football and how much they rely on ticket sales. Now, tonight, Stirling Albion went to Alloa at the Indrodrill Stadium, I think it was called, in their Betfred Cup game, and they got beat 2-1, I believe, as well. However, the board came out with a statement a couple of days before it and said, "The board wished to advise that every effort was made to achieve a lower pricing structure, but under SPFL rules, if the two clubs cannot agree, the home club is entitled to charge their normal SPFL prices." So tonight, for a Tuesday night game, in a Betfred Cup game, Alloa were charging £18 for adults.
Oh my God.
£18. So Stirling Albion have then went on to say, "In addition to registering on this appointment, I have further advised Alloa Athletic that Stirling Albion will not take up its entitlement of complimentary access or boardroom hospitality. The club board unanimously agreed that we would be extremely uncomfortable doing so whilst our fellow supporters were being faced with paying such an extortionate amount. We will of course be in attendance, but we will pay our way through the turnstiles. I appreciate that some of our supporters will see this as putting money into Alloa's pocket, but under cup gate sharing arrangements, there is some comfort that around 40% will make its way back into our bank account."
I wonder what the official attendance was then, Derek. You'd be lucky if you would get to 1,000 in it. You'd be lucky if you got 1,000 at that game.
Yeah, I mean, just £18 for that is we can understand why they are doing it, because gate receipts are what, and season tickets are what makes up the revenue for clubs, even in the Premiership, even for Rangers and Celtic. That's what our big thing is. I mean, Rangers and Celtic only get maybe about 2 or 3 million, I think, in terms of TV money organised by the SFA and SPFL.
Yep.
It really is about time that they need to look at this model, because we cannot keep going on like this. I mean, this is a major issue with clubs. They need to try and get fans in the ground to then buy merchandise, to then buy pies and all that kind of thing, which are extortionate as it is. But they have to make it that price because they're not making enough profit on them.
Yeah.
So scrap the TV deals, because they make no sense. We're getting pittance for them, and allow clubs to go on their own and do their own channels, like I've said before, and then reduce that. That means they can reduce the price of tickets going into the games, because there will be a hardcore element of fans, and even a fair weather fan will go more often than not if the ticket prices are reasonable. Tonight's game, like that game tonight for Alloa Stirling, should have been £10 at the very maximum.
Yeah,
very maximum. I would have said a fiver, to be honest, and let get people in the door. But you know, it's the way Scottish football is, and it will never change, I don't think.
Exactly. No, it's a bit of a farce. And I'll give you, I've got the game in front of me, Derek, and I'm going to see what do you think the attendance was at the game tonight?
I would reckon about 250.
No, you're closer than what I thought. I said about 1,000. Nowhere near it. The official attendance for that match was 412 people.
Yeah.
As you say, aye, exactly. As you say, all it would have took would have been for Alloa, Stirling Albion to open that game up and give free tickets to people under the age of 18 or OAPs, you know, and have the, you know, the prices at like a tenner for adults, and they would have got, you know, more than double what they had there anyway, you know, especially when the school holidays are on. They could have been round, they could have had the stadium filled with all the youngsters and, you know, families and stuff like that tonight. But no, aye, a total farce.
Yeah. So, Mum got so drunk at wedding she shat herself on the dance floor.
She related to Big Donk.
There's always some good gossip to take away from a wedding, and I'd say 9 times out of 10 it involves guests embarrassing themselves while drunk. It's pretty much expected practice at receptions, but there's a fine line between entertaining and disruptive when alcohol is free-flowing, and that line becomes increasingly more blurry, making it easy to stumble over or onto the unacceptable side. Unfortunately, that's exactly what happened with one particular wedding guest recently, as she got so intoxicated she ended up shitting herself, causing the smell so bad that everyone got evacuated.
Where was this about?
The story was revealed on Facebook wedding, revealed on a Facebook wedding shaming group, where a woman named Ashley described as a gorgeous wedding with its beautiful ceremony. She explained that the ceremony was followed by a pre-reception cocktail hour with free beer and wine. Ashley went on to say how one mum, who she called Liz, decided to take advantage of the free drinks and was hammering down red wine like there was no business. The guest said that there was around 50 or 60 other people there, so Liz's drinking didn't go unnoticed. After the hour was over, we all headed to the reception area where there was another free beer and wine bar for dinner and speeches and dancing. Liz got to dinner, but I can't even tell you how many trips she made to the bar for red wine. The irresistible lure of free drinks meant Liz was apparently plastered by the time the speeches took place, and then when she came to dancing, she was described as a rhino with a cannonballs of red wine. She was trying to dance while bumping into people and double-fisting cups of red wine above her head. She kept screaming that she didn't have her kids so she could party on. She was absolutely covered in red wine. She had it all over her dress, even on the back. It literally looked like she had a Cabernet shower. At one point, she tried to dance with the bride, almost spilled the wine on her very expensive white dress. The kicker, she got so drunk she shat herself on the dance floor and everyone got evacuated because it smelt so bad. Complete wedding guest failure.
On your cell, Liz. A legend.
So, if you have got any embarrassing wedding stories or any stories about shitting yourself, you can contact us on iReadyPodcast.hotmail.com.
Aye, and if your mum's called Liz and she loves red wine, then, you know, and she's not got that outfit that she wore to the wedding, then you know exactly what happened.
So that rounds up the first episode of the new season of the podcast. So as ever, if you go to our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com, you can find links to all our social media sites, including Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, which has never been updated in ages, YouTube, our iTunes, our Podbean, and our Spotify accounts as well. You can also find links to our match, all our other podcasts, our classic match links, as well as our reaction pods as well.
Yes, there has been a few people moaning, Derek, that they've not had a lot of pods to listen to over the pre-season, so at least this lengthy pod will keep them going for a while anyway. So,
yes, absolutely. So all that's left to say is thanks for listening and goodbye.
Yes, take care, folks, and we will be back soon.
Bye.
Bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.